Good evening, everyone, or good morning, depending on what time you're listening to the show. Maybe good afternoon from around the world, because the show is broadcast all over the world on GetMoreSports.com. It's Sports Betting Tips with Chris Sheridan. Our guest today, I'm real pleased to be joined by a guy that I've been working with for years and years, Paul Jones. He's a radio analyst on Toronto Raptors broadcasts. Works side by side with another great guy, Eric Smith. Paul, welcome to the show, and let's get right at it. You played the Golden State Warriors last night, and they were, other than Andre Iguodala, they were at full strength, and it wasn't much of a game. I mean, the Raptors jumped on them from the get-go, took the crowd right out of it, and they were seven-point underdogs in that game. What'd you make of what happened in Oakland last night?
It went up to seven. I saw it at 6.5, and it's something that I know it's legal now, Chris, but I've always had an eye on what the number is, so to speak, because, you know, those guys in Vegas, people might say they're crazy, but they're always around. They're always around in the ballpark, and they know. So what did I make of it last night? That the Raptors really hard. They had been coming off a couple of bad losses. I saw you Friday night in Brooklyn, Chris, and we talked about that. They couldn't close that game out. They lose in overtime. They've got two good looks from, you know, Kawhi Leonard and from Van Vliet. They both could have won the game, and they couldn't knock either of them down. And then Sunday they lose to Milwaukee for the second time. And people were looking at this road trip saying, wow, I'll take 2-2 and run with it. Well, they're 2-0 on this road trip right now, beating the Clippers and the Warriors last night. And now if you get a 2-2 trip, you're going to be a little bit disappointed. But I thought they did a great job last night of kind of staying with the game plan. Nick Nurse obviously had some matchups that he wanted to go to. They did a good job making Steph Curry work. Kevin Durant, for whatever reason, missed shots, some of it the defense, probably some of it Kevin Durant. And I thought they went at Steph Curry with Danny Green, taking him into the post, and you know, the philosophy being that, well, we're going to make the guy work, not just on offense. We're going to make him work on the defensive end too. And it seemed to pay off. Chris, I just kept waiting for Golden State to come back, and they didn't. I mean, the largest comeback in Raptors history ever, in the history of the franchise, is 27 points at Oracle Arena against Golden State. And that was in December 2013. They were up almost 30 points, and they let it get away. So I just kept waiting for Golden State to come back last night, and it never happened. And I thought Toronto stayed aggressive and finished the game in that fashion as well.
And let's talk a little bit about the news that broke today. Jonas Valanciunas is out now. He's going to have surgery on his hand, on his wrist, and it's a minimum of 4 weeks. How is this going to impact the team? Obviously, they're not using him the same way that they've been using him in years past. Sometimes Serge Ibaka is playing center, and sometimes even the two of them are out there together. How do you see this impacting the Raptors' ability to remain, A, an elite team, and B, atop the Eastern Conference, because it is a competitive Eastern Conference still?
Yeah, and that hurts, Chris, because JV had really adapted to his role. I saw a stat from our friends at the Elias Sports Bureau saying that no player in 20 minutes since 1979-80 had ever averaged 12-7, and JV was above both those averages in about 19.2 minutes. And Nick Nurse had got him to accept the role of coming off the bench, a guy who had been a starter. And the split right now is about Serge 27 minutes, Jonas 21 minutes, and they are really both producing, and this is going to hurt. I mean, JV had reinvented himself, Chris. He came into the league as a kind of a true traditional center, and he got into matchups when they were playing Dwight Howard, or now he's a teammate, but when they used to play a Greg Monroe or when they play a Tyson Chandler, it's like, okay, there's your dance partner, go to it. And of late, in the last few years, he started shooting the three. Nick Nurse, you know, imploring him, and the developmental staff, coaches working with him at handling the ball, dribble handoffs, putting it on the floor. You know, he made a big play in a game last year that tied the game to send it to overtime with a dunk on the inbounds where he faked a handoff and then, you know, from the top of the key took two dribbles and jams it down. He had really been reinventing himself, Chris, being able to play this new perimeter-style big game in the NBA, but not forgetting how to be a big guy and play down in the low post. So I think it's going to hurt them. I just, not that Greg Monroe can't give them stuff. Greg Monroe will give them the traditional stuff, but he's not giving them the ball handling. And, you know, Jonas will take three-point shots now. He's not giving them that to the same degree, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year they had Jakob Poeltl playing back up. And there, you know, Dwayne was going 11 deep last year, and Poeltl was a big part of that rotation. But, he stuck with Valanciunas as it started, you know, game in, game out. This year, Jonas has only started 10 out of 30 games. And just to correct myself, what Valanciunas had surgery for at Stanford University in Palo Alto was a dislocated thumb. And he's going to wear a cast for 4 weeks, and then his condition will be updated as appropriate. But when you have at least it's on his left hand and it's not on his shooting hand, but when you have a thumb injury, a dislocated thumb, you know, Caris LeVert of the Brooklyn Nets had a dislocated foot. That's an injury I've never seen or heard before, but I haven't seen the videotape. I don't want to see it again. But Jonas has come back from wrist surgery before. That right hand, left hand?
I think it was his right hand before because he worked a lot on the left hand. But this is like his, I want to say it's his third hand injury, Chris. For big guys, hands and feet, when those things start getting banged up, it makes it difficult. But he's a tough kid, Jonas, and I got to imagine that he will be back, in tip-top form as soon as he can.
Yeah, so let's talk about the elephant in the room, too. Kawhi Leonard didn't play last night, and it was because of an injury. But Kawhi's missed a couple games because of rest, and there's a lot of skepticism around the NBA, and I think in Toronto as well, as to whether Kawhi Leonard is in this for the short term or for the long term. What's your reading, having been around the guy now for 30 games? Are the Raptors going to be able to keep him, or are they going to be forced to move him at the deadline and not be at risk of losing him for nothing?
You know, Chris, I don't have a read on it. I really don't. I mean, there are some days when I think, oh, yeah, it's a lock. He's coming back. And then I think there's some days when I think, he's just biding his time here. He's playing hard. I don't have a read on it. And I, like you, not to the same extent, talk to people around, the league. And I've heard people say, lock, you know, book it. He's coming back. He's going to sign there long term. And then I have other people telling me, oh, he can't wait to get out of there. He's so fast out of there. So I don't have a read on it, Chris. I mean, I'm here, and he's a very quiet guy, Kawhi Leonard. And sometimes he's difficult to get to know in that sense. And, you know, it's one of those where I think the more you try to get into his thoughts and try to get close to him, the more he pushes away. So, all the people on the team are, just kind of treating him like a regular guy. I'm sure he's getting a little bit of special treatment that we can't see all the time, but, he's playing well for this team, when he's out there. And, I think we're going to have to wait it out, Chris, although I will vouch for Brian Windhorst's article on ESPN where he says, the Clippers have been kind of trailing Kawhi. We've seen Clipper people at a lot of our games in Toronto. So for what that's worth, maybe there's something there.
Oh, certainly. I mean, the Clippers, look, they want to go after both the guys, Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. And look, the Lakers would love to get their hands on another superstar, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's Kawhi Leonard. I mean, take your pick, whether Damian Lillard is not out beyond the realm of possibility. So what we're going to see in the NBA next summer, I keep telling people this, wait till July 1st next year. It's going to make your head spin. It's going to be like nothing we've ever seen before because all the contracts that were signed, these big monster contracts in the year when the cap jumped from $68 million to $100 million and everybody spent their money like drunken sailors, they're all coming off the cap now. All the Luol Dangs and the Timofey Mozgovs and the Alan Crabb and Damari Carroll, two guys in Brooklyn that I see play a lot. All these guys are coming off a team's salary caps, and there's going to be just a boatload of money to be spent. And certainly the New York market holds a certain allure for different guys, and the LA market holds a certain allure, and the Toronto market always hasn't. I mean, Vince Carter left. Tracy McGrady left. One of the guys who really bought in, DeMar DeRozan, to the whole, I want to be here for the rest of my career, he got traded. And so Masai Ujiri really, really rolled the dice on this, sort of like what Sam Presti did when he gave up two players to bring in Paul George, two real good players, Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. But Masai's a bit of a gambler. He's remember what he said when they played the Nets in the playoffs. We could repeat it on this podcast, but we try to keep it clean, and we don't want to use the F word too many times. But Masai real well, and probably have some insight into why he took this gamble. Why do you think it was?
He wants to win, Chris, and he's always said that. He said you can almost hear him with his Nigerian dialect, with his African accent, saying, "We want to win." And I've heard those words so many times from Masai. He's dogged in his pursuit of, Kyle Lowry calls it, the gold ball. He wants to win. He wants to bring a championship to this franchise amidst all the excuses and, questions about the weather and the tax and being in Canada and it being a hockey country. And Masai's at the point now where there's no excuses. He wants to win. That's what he wants. So take this gamble. I mean, he looked at last year and said, we've gone as far as we can go with this group. He got rid of the coach of the year who had, staked them to 59 wins. And, you talked about DeMar DeRozan there, Chris, like everybody, Vince Carter left, Chris Bosh left. They took the money once and they left, and DeMar took the money, not once, but twice. And he had grown to love Toronto. I mean, he raised his family there, and he was out trumpeting the cause of Toronto around the rest of the NBA. And he realized that not only do you have one of the greatest cities in the world cheering for you, you have the whole country. So when he got traded, it was devastating for a lot of fans.
Masai Ujiri really rolled the dice on this.
Took a gamble.
This is a gambling show. Talk a little bit about the gamble he took.
Chris, he's already said that, and I've been there since day one, and I can hear Masai's voice, in my head now saying, "We want to win," like the way he does it with it, and he's focused on winning, Chris. He is. Amidst all the talk about Toronto and its issues with customs and taxes and the weather and all of that stuff, this dude just wants to win, and Masai is doing that. He's focusing on winning and nothing else. And I don't know of another way to put it. And look, he gets rid of a coach that wins you 59 games. He got rid of what many people consider to be like the native son, watching DeMar grow up in Toronto and watching him, have his family there. And a lot of people were upset at Masai and emotionally tied to DeMar. But when you strip that away, you Kawhi's a better player for this team right now. So, and Masai's going for it. I mean, Chris, as well as I do, that there are times when the window is open and you've got to jump for the ring and you've got to make those moves, because if you don't, you're going to regret not making them, and then you're on the downside of the hill. How many teams have we seen in the NBA do that? And on the other side of the coin, we see teams like Miami and like the Lakers, and you buy the house and you pay the mortgage later. And Toronto's in that phase right now. They've got a really high payroll. They've got tremendous players. They're in a window where they're, 5 years consecutively in the playoffs, three, and they look like they're headed for a fourth straight season of 50-plus wins. The time is now. So Masai, knowing that, is taking the gamble.
But again, let's get back to your team, the Raptors,
and the guy that you spoke about earlier, Kyle Lowry.
Because
he was slumping. And even in the first half of the Clipper game, he was still slumping.
What went wrong and what corrected it?
Chris, I just think he was in one of those he's in one of those down phases. I mean, you know how the season goes. I mean, you look back at the beginning of the year, he was playing so well. And I didn't know that he could, you know, keep it up shooting, you know, 65, 70% every game. Like, it had to turn a little bit. And it turned. And he had, you know, he had a stretch of, what, four games where he was 3-for-20 and, you know, scoreless in one game for the first time in, like, four seasons. It happens. That kind of stuff happens. So, you know, Kyle, Doc Rivers said it on Tuesday night. He said, Kyle's a really good player, and he's going to pick it up. I just hope it's not tonight. And bang, it was against the Clippers, and he kept riding it against Golden State. He's too good a player to play that poorly for that long, Chris.
What did the Pacers
91 to win the championship. Pacers are a team, Chris, I think that everybody's kind of sleeping on, and they looked at them last year and said, oh, you know, they're overachieving, and you know, they didn't think they could keep it up, and Oladipo's turned into a terrific player. Sabonis has really developed. I think Nate McMillan is a heck of a coach, you know, with his staff there. And I just think nobody's giving these guys the love, the respect, the play that they need to. I mean, they're a really good team. I don't know if they're championship worthy. Like, I don't know if they could beat Toronto in. I mean, people are looking at the regular season. Chris, we know you got to look ahead. I don't know if they could beat Toronto in a 7-game series. But then again, the East is wide open. Like, you know, who beats who in a 7-game series? I agree, Chris. I just look at Indiana, and everybody's talking about Philly and Boston and, you know, what Mike Budenholzer's done in Milwaukee, and Indiana's right there. They are right there. You know, the addition of Tyreek Evans, they got a couple of good veterans in Thaddeus Young and Corey Joseph. And, you know, they've been playing well without Oladipo, and he's going to come back now. So, you know, there's a team. Like I said, I'm not a big gambler, but, you know, hey, it's like the lottery at times. If you don't buy a ticket, you ain't going to win. And, you know, they'd be a good team to put a few shekels on if you felt like it.
Who's your MVP at this point right now?
I'm going to tell you what the odds are.
I mean, Kawhi would be up there, but the Raptors have gone 7-1 without him. So there are people that would say, well, you know, they're doing well without him. So that maybe takes him out of the mix. Does that elevate Kyle Lowry? How about Giannis? There's another guy. And then you got to look at LeBron. Like, you can't ever discount that guy. You can't ever not put him in there. Look at what he's done for the Lakers. I would say if I had a vote right now, I might give it to Kawhi 1 or 1A, Giannis 1A or 1B, and then LeBron 3. I think that's something that people kind of forget. They talk about MVP, but other than Westbrook, who had a historic season a couple of years ago when he won it, your team has to be one or two. And people forget that it's about winning. There are lots of guys that have great years, but their team is sixth or seventh. And I think with Westbrook, it was something. It was something historic, which is why he won it. I mean, something that we haven't seen since the likes of Oscar Robertson. So, look, I look at what's going on now, and it's pretty much where it is. And I think people, I don't know what your numbers say, Chris. What about Steph Curry? I mean, they are 5-6 without him, 14-3 with him. I think this thing will really ramp up once we hit, you know, late January, we get to the trading deadline in February. That's when teams, we know, Chris, there's preseason, regular season, post All-Star, and it just goes up every step in the playoffs until you get to the finals. No game in October, November, or December means anything in May or June, and that's what you have to remember. I mean, you know, Toronto coming in off a back-to-back, it's just to the point where the playoffs are different. You see a guy for every game for you know, 10 days to 2 weeks, and you can lock in on tendencies. And that's what's been the issue in Toronto in years past. They were a great regular season game team, catching people in games where there was 3 and 4 nights or back-to-back. And all of a sudden now, you get one guy that you're looking at for 2 weeks, and Toronto wasn't able to get over the hump. And my analogy is, it's kind of like running the marathon with the Kenyans or the Ethiopians. You run 15 miles, and you're keeping up with the pack, and you go, okay, I'm right in there. And then they turn at the 15-mile mark with 10, 11 miles to go, and they say, all right, boys, let's start running. And you don't have that gear. You know, you don't have that gear. Toronto's never had that gear, but I'll say now, with Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, they potentially have that gear.
I'm Chris Sheridan. You can follow me on Twitter at Sheridan Hoops. That's a wrap. Again, this show, it lives on GetMoreSports.com, but we are sponsored by BetDSI.com, or overseas, it's BetDSI.eu. And if you go there and you use promo code BBALL1000, that's all capital letters, BBALL1000, they'll match up to $1,000 right off the bat, and that's a lot of free money to play with. So no matter where you're listening and what your local currency is, you can get $1,000 matched with that bonus code. Again, it's BBALL, all capital letters, 1,000. Over and out.